All right, I've got 6 o'clock. I'd like to call to order the April 6, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Anacona, can I please have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma? He's muted. You're muted.
Okay, here.
Commissioner Henderson?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, thank you, Ms. Anacona. I would now like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. With the commissioners that have their microphones on, if everybody could just listen as I say it, so we don't get a lot of feedback. That seems to work out better in the Zoom setting. So I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, well, I would like to welcome everyone here tonight on our commission Zoom meeting. We are still here. A little over a year after the pandemic still started, but I am excited that I'm still able to see everyone and that we're still able to be meeting and moving forward with what we have going on with the town. So I just wanted to go over a couple of things for the Zoom meeting if anybody is unfamiliar. So this is the webinar format. There should be a button down in the bottom of your screen, I believe. Mine is in the middle, that says raise your hand, and it's like a little hand icon. And if you would like to address the commission, I will need you to raise your hand, and that's how I will know you have a question. So for anybody who's calling in on their phone, to raise your hand to participate, you'll need to press *9. And then that will alert us and I will call out your phone number and have you speak to us. So I am going to move on to our call to the audience. During this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. So pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the audience. So if you wish to address the commission on matters not on today's agenda, please notify us now by clicking the raise your hand icon or by pressing *9 on your phone. And I am looking at my list. I am not seeing any raised hands. So I am going to close the call to the audience. I would now like to introduce any council members that we have on with us. We have Vice Mayor Melanie Barrett with us. Hello. And that is all I'm seeing for council members. So welcome, Melanie, or Vice Mayor Barrett, and I would like to turn the time over to you for our council liaison comments.
Okay, great. Well, it's nice to see all of you. Hopefully we'll be in person again in not too long. In terms of council liaison comments, we just have a couple of upcoming council meetings that deal with planning related items on April 21st. We're going to be taking a look at the Westward Look proposal and annexation that was heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And on May 1st, discussion and possible action regarding the Oro Vista Apartments, which I believe is on your agenda this evening. So that's what we'll be doing and addressing as a council. And we also are working on our strategic leadership plan, as I believe that you know, and some of you submitted comments on that, so thank you. And that will be tomorrow night. We're working on bringing forward our police pension funding policy, the PSPRS, as we call it, and finding a way to address the unfunded liability that the town has there. We're at the beginning of working through our budget process, and we're working on a long-term Parks and Recreation master plan. As you may be aware, there have been some public meetings and opportunities for public comment from that. And of course, we welcome any comments from commissioners or the public who want to continue to submit comments to council at any time on that. So those are kind of some of the things that we're working on as the council, and we appreciate your service on the planning and zoning. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. I am now going to turn the time over to our first agenda item. Ms. Ancona, will you please read that out for us?
Review and approval of the January 26, 2021 special session meeting minutes, the February 2nd, 2021 regular session meeting minutes, and the March 15th, 2021 special session meeting minutes.
All right. Thank you. Can I get a motion on those? Commissioner Bergsma, will you unmute yourself?
Chair Gamble, I move to approve the January 26, 2021 study session minutes, the February 2nd, 2021 regular session minutes, and the March 15th, 2021 special session minutes.
All right, thank you. Could I get a second for that?
I second that.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Sturman. Ms. Ancona, can we please have a roll call vote?
Chair Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you very much. Ms. Ancona, will you please read out our second agenda item?
Discussion and possible action regarding a proposed 16-unit expansion to the existing Oro Vista apartments located southeast of the La Cañada Drive and Lambert Lane intersection adjacent to Noble Hops. Case number 2002073, item A, proposed conceptual site plan, revised master development plan, and conceptual landscape plan. And item B, proposed conceptual architecture.
All right, thank you. So we will be voting on both of those, item A and item B tonight. And before we really get into this, I just wanted to make everyone aware, especially the attendees, that are concerned about the apartments, that the property in question currently already has the rights to build a three-story apartment complex and a one-story apartment complex. So we are not here to discuss whether or not they are going to be able to build apartments. They were granted those rights back in, I believe it was 1983. So because of that, we are just reviewing the site plan and the conceptual architecture plan. And I know that a lot of people are, we're a little bit upset about the apartments. I understand that, and about blocking the view shed. But tonight's meeting, we will not be talking about that because legally the applicant already has that right to build them. And legally, the town cannot come and take rights away that have already been given. So with that said, I am going to turn the time over to Mrs. Hannah Oden for the staff presentation.
All right. Thank you, Chair Gamble. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm just going to go ahead and share my screen. Just give me one moment. All right. Can you see that okay? Great, thank you. All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Hannah Oden, and I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley and the project manager reviewing the applicant's request. The purpose of this case is for a request to build two new apartment buildings to expand the existing Oro Vista apartments located near the southeast corner of the La Cañada Drive and Lambert Lane intersection. The applicant is requesting approval of two items. The first item, item A, is for a revised master development plan, conceptual site plan, and conceptual landscape plan. The second item, item B, is for conceptual architecture. This case is presented to the commission tonight for discussion and possible recommendation. The proposal will ultimately be considered by town council. Please note that two separate motions are required for item A and item B. A recommendation to approve item A is required to make a motion on item B. It is important to emphasize that a code compliant proposal must ultimately be approved by the town. So I'd like to take a moment just to orient everyone with respect to the subject property. So the apartment expansion area, which is outlined in yellow on this slide, is approximately 0.9 acres and vacant. It is located within the Ora Vista Shopping Center, which is southeast of the La Cañada Drive and Lambert Lane intersection and is adjacent to the Noble Hops restaurant. The existing apartment development is located directly to the south. The parcel is located within the El Conquistador Country Club Planned Area Development, or PAD, and the villages of La Cañada PAD is located directly to the east. The shopping center with the Fry's is located north across Lambert Lane, and the Autumn Hill neighborhood is located to the northeast. Now, this slide shows the zoning designation for the subject parcel. As mentioned in the previous slide, the subject parcel is located within the El Conquistador Planned Area Development and is zoned as Area D. The town has 18 planned area developments, or you'll hear me refer to them as PADs. And so PADs are areas with unique zoning designations, and each of those are tailored to a specific area in the town. So Area D is similar to the town's C1 commercial zoning district, so it's zoned for more intensive uses. Area D permits uses such as retail, office, restaurants, and apartments. This PAD zoning also permits building heights up to 38 feet and 3 stories. So before discussing the applicant's proposal, I want to provide some background and history of the parcel. The El Conquistador Country Club PAD was approved by Town Council in 1983 and established the development standards mentioned in the previous slide and permitted apartments on the subject parcel. In March of 2003, a grading exception was approved for the site. So a grading exception provides relief from town grading standards and is approved by town council. So approval of this grading exception, in particular, allowed a remnant hill on the subject property to be removed. Grading exceptions can also include conditions, and in this case, conditions were added to address view concerns from neighbors. These conditions significantly impacted site design, which I will explain in the following slides. In August of 2003, a master development plan for the entire area, including the existing apartments and commercial areas, was approved by town council and is shown on this slide. A master development plan is required for commercial centers to ensure cohesive and compatible development and includes components such as building layout, parking calculations, and pedestrian connectivity. The subject property is outlined in yellow and was originally anticipated as a restaurant as part of the master development plan. However, any uses permitted under the PAD zoning, including apartments, are allowed on this parcel. So now that I provided some context and history of the parcel, I will start discussing the specifics of the applicant's request. The change to an apartment site design from the originally approved restaurant site plan is substantial enough that a revised master development plan is required concurrently with the conceptual site plan review. The site layout change involves going from a single restaurant building to 2 apartment buildings. The revised master development plan includes an update to the number of total apartment units, updated parking calculation, and a new site plan. This ensures cohesive development within the shopping center, as a new site design is proposed for the site with a different building layout. The image on the left side of the slide is the approved 2003 master development plan for the entire commercial center when a restaurant was anticipated. The subject parcel is outlined in yellow. So on this side of the slide, the restaurant building is outlined in blue, the existing apartments are to the south, and the commercial building with Noble Hops is directly to the west. The image on the right side of the slide is the new proposed site plan for the apartment expansion, which is included in the revised master development plan. The 2 proposed buildings are also outlined in blue. So because the apartment expansion site layout varies from the originally approved restaurant site plan, the applicant is requesting approval of a conceptual site plan, which shows building layout, building height, and parking, just to name a few components. So the image on this slide is the applicant's proposed conceptual site plan for 16 new dwelling units. The site design consists of two separate buildings connected by a breezeway, and these are outlined in blue. Building one is 38 feet tall, a three-story building located at the southern part of the site. Building two is in front of building one and is 20 feet tall and single story. By placing the tallest building at the back of the site and creating a stair step effect with the single story building closer to Lambert Lane, views are maintained to the greatest extent possible from Noble Hops. So there will be one access into the site, which is shown here with the black arrows. The refuse area is located right here, which is by the access, and will be screened by a masonry wall, landscaping, and will be painted to match the proposed buildings. The public art, which is currently located where the new entrance is proposed, is being moved into the 25-foot buffer yard along Lambert Lane where a berm exists. Screen walls will be provided along the berm and the eastern side of the parking lot where needed to shield vehicle headlights from shining into public roadways or open space. A 25-foot setback is required on the eastern property boundary, which is also the edge of the PAD. So as mentioned previously, the 2003 grading exception had a number of required conditions to address view impacts for neighbors. The conditions required that buildings on this site be set back at least 90 feet from the property boundary. In this case, building two is set back approximately 97 feet. Buildings fronting Lambert Lane were also limited to single story and 24 feet. In this case, building two is the fronting building closest to Lambert and is 20 feet tall. Lastly, a 60-inch high berm was required where feasible along Lambert Lane. The existing berm will be maintained to the greatest extent possible. 36 parking spaces are required and provided for the expansion. The total parking count for the entire center meets the PAD parking requirements, and shared parking opportunities exist for Noble Hops in the commercial areas of the site. In addition, changes in peak demand times help alleviate parking conflicts. For example, when Noble Hops is busiest in the evening, adjacent office-type businesses are closed, opening up more parking during that time. Pedestrian connectivity was also a key focus of the site design. A safe pedestrian connection will be provided from the site across the berm to the multi-use path, the design of which will be finalized during the final design plan stage. And this connection is shown here with this dashed black line. A connection from the multi-use path to the public art will also be provided. Lastly, a crosswalk across the access drive, which is shown here, will provide connection to businesses within the center, the existing apartments, and another connection to the multi-use path. It is worth noting that future residents will use amenities at the existing apartments, so this connection provides safe access. The last component of item A is the conceptual landscape plan. The applicant is proposing native, low water use plants that comply to the zoning code. The required 25-foot buffer yard is provided along Lambert Lane, and existing vegetation within the buffer yard will be maintained to the greatest extent possible, but will be impacted for the public art relocation and pedestrian connection to the multi-use path. The applicant is also providing additional trees and plantings within the buffer yard, which satisfies a grading exception requirement. Perimeter landscaping is also provided along the eastern property boundary per the PAD, and landscaping has been provided along the west side of the building and refuse enclosure closest to Noble Hops. So that provides some additional screening. The next part of the applicant's request is for approval of conceptual architecture. This slide shows the west elevation facing Noble Hops and the north elevation facing Lambert Lane. The proposed architecture uses similar colors and materials found both at the existing apartments and adjacent commercial building. For example, the exterior stone can be found at the adjacent commercial building and apartments. Kind of the orange rust color here is similar to the adjacent apartments, while the beige and green exterior color is similar to the commercial building on site. The The design of the proposed apartments closely resembles the architecture of the adjacent commercial building, which creates a consistent streetscape along Lambert Lane. This includes a similar roof design and tower element for building two, which you can see right here. The applicant has varied the roof lines and integrated varied wall planes and pop-outs to vary the facades and break up the building mass on all four sides. As described previously, the strategic building placement helps minimize view impacts from Noble Hops as much as possible. This slide shows the east elevation facing the golf course and open space at the villages at La Cañada, and the south elevation facing the existing apartments. These elevations also use the same colors, materials, and elements described in the previous slide. This slide shows surrounding architecture at the commercial center. The top two images are of the existing Oro Vista apartments, and the bottom two images are of the adjacent commercial building where Noble Hops is located. The proposed architecture complements the existing structures in terms of design, colors, and materials. Two neighborhood meetings were held for this proposal. The first was an in-person neighborhood meeting held on February 6, 2020. The second was an online, fully interactive Zoom meeting held on February 10th, 2021. The first neighborhood meeting generated a significant amount of participation and concern from the community regarding mountain view impacts, especially from the Noble Hops patio, parking availability for Noble Hops patrons, and concern over the potential increase in traffic. Based on these concerns, the applicant reduced the unit count from 19 to 16, and arranged the tallest building at the southern portion of the site to mitigate view impacts from Noble Hops, which was required to meet grading exception requirements. Shared parking opportunities exist for Noble Hops, including available parking at the shops that front La Cañada Drive. Parking is provided for both the proposed apartment expansion and the entire Oro Vista Center that meets zoning code and PAD requirements. Compared to restaurant use, the proposed apartments will generate significantly less traffic. No concerns were raised by residents at the last neighborhood meeting. So based on the applicant's revised site design and the results of the second meeting, the initial concerns raised by residents appear to have been adequately addressed by the applicant. In summary, apartments are a permitted use on the subject parcel, and ultimately a code-compliant site design must be approved by the town. The proposed conceptual site design, revised master development plan, conceptual landscape plan, and conceptual architecture conform to the El Conquistador Country Club PAD, the zoning code, and grading exception requirements. As such, staff recommends approval of both item A and item B. This case is presented to the commission tonight for discussion and possible recommendation. Again, separate motions are required for items A and B, and a motion to recommend approval of item A must be made before a motion can be made on item B. So this concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here tonight to present additional details about their proposal. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Oden. I'd like to now turn the time over to the applicant. I believe Mr. Laws.
Hi, good evening.
Oh, Mr. Hyland, sorry.
Yes, that's all right. My name is Mark Hyland. I am with the BezTac Companies. We are the developer of this site for the owner, which is also a related company to.
Mr. Hyland, you've muted yourself.
Am I back?
Yes, you are.
My Zoom restarted so I could become a panelist. All right. So, Hannah, will you be operating the slides?
Yes, Mr. Hyland, I will.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we forward to the first slide, the project location. There we go. By the way, thank you, Hannah, for a very comprehensive review. I think that actually cuts my presentation down by about half. So I will get quickly through this. As Hannah mentioned, we are the southeast corner of Lambert and La Cañada. The site is currently zoned for the restaurant, apartment, and other commercial type uses, and it's vacant. It's an individual and separate parcel from all the other parcels in the into this PAD. There are some kind of partners in the various entities in the PAD, but these are all separate parcels, so they have to be managed, developed on their own accord. So we've been working with the Oro Valley staff on the site design for a little over a year now, and we've come a long way. As Hannah mentioned, we dropped several apartment units, revised some of the parking, the buildings back, and changed it to a one-story plus a three-story building to open up the view shed. Hannah Oden and Bear Vella have been very, very helpful throughout the process, and you'll be pleased to know they roughed us up a little bit in a polite and friendly manner to get us back down to a more realistic count on the site. So that's how we arrived at this layout currently. Next slide, please. As Hannah mentioned, this is our original Oro Vista site plan that showed the restaurant on the site. Next slide. Here we can see on the upper image is where the new use has been inserted into the master plan, and then the picture in the forefront is the site, new site layout as part of the master development plan. Next slide. Our proposed site plan, you can see we do have a surface parking with some carports and then our two different buildings. We've provided access a little bit further south of the shopping center driveway to allow for a little bit of stacking if necessary to get into this site without backing up any traffic into the shopping center. So the new location for the art, which is going to be relocated close to the Lambert Lane pathway. It'll be much more accessible to the public, much more visible to the public. And I think it'll achieve what a better representation for the artistic development within this site. Next slide, please. Here's our proposed landscape plan. As you can see, we're proposing additional landscape along the berm. There are some existing larger trees and shrubs along there. We intend to maintain the existing plantings wherever possible because they are very well developed. So we'll be inserting landscaping where it will fit, but we do not intend to disturb most of the original existing landscaping, as it would be a shame to replace a full-size tree with a much smaller tree at this point. We'll also be adding a landscape along the driveway, the shared common entrance drive, and then we'll be filling in landscaping along the perimeter of the site as well and some internal to the project. Next slide. As you can see, we've used a variety of colors, but as Hannah mentioned, we do have some of the rusty oranges that are present in the apartments, and the light green and tan elements from the existing shopping center in an effort to promote and tie the whole development together in a cohesive method. Next slide, please. And here is our rendering for the view from our commercial patio at Noble Hops. You can see before we had originally had larger buildings towards the middle of the site, which blocked much of the view. But by pushing everything as far to the south as we possibly could, we've maintained the view of the highest peak in the entire range to the north. I think this is a very good result of our neighborhood meeting, the first neighborhood meeting back in 2020, because I think it improves our site and also maintains a lot of the view for the patrons of the neighboring restaurant. Next slide. So the community impacts, peak traffic and utility demand occur at different hours for commercial and residential units. The utility use for residential is generally less than commercial can be, so there's less impacts on the existing utility system, which also means additional volume still available within the system for development in the future from other properties. There's usually much more lighting needed for commercial uses than residential, higher wattage, taller poles. This will all be very, very human scale lighting, shorter light poles, mostly building mounted lights. Adding new residents to the area can only help all the existing other commercial sites in the surrounding area. Usually school children for apartments, it's usually approximately 0.15 to 0.18 kids per unit total. So this would only generate two, maybe three kids at the most for the school system. So it won't put a great impact on it. The residences, according to the Oro Valley Police Department, actually generate fewer public safety issues than commercial type uses. The building roof lines are a little higher than the adjacent commercial building because the building's a little taller, but the site is about 8 feet lower where we're building. So it balances out and these proposed apartments won't peer out of place with the commercial buildings next to them or with the residential buildings behind them. Again, the public art's going to be moved forward, so it will better meet the intent of being visible to the public. And I believe that's it. One more slide and next slide. And I am ready to take any questions you have. With me in the audience is the architect, if we need any information from him. And I believe Sam Besnos, one of the principals with our company, is also on the Zoom meeting.
All right. Thank you very much for that presentation. I am now going to open up questions and discussions to the commission. So if any commissioners have a question right now, if you could raise your hand and I will call your name, and then if you could unmute yourself. Commissioner Bergsma.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. Mr. Howland, thank you for the presentation. You did say, I believe, that the present condition of the site is it's undeveloped, but there have been some limited improvements to allow for temporary parking. Is that not correct?
That's correct. It was a temporary parking lot permitted as such. It was just to help address a problem that we were told was arising. And since that's been brought up and the parking lot was installed, it gets some use, but we've performed parking counts and everything for the whole site to make sure that we meet the needs of our tenants and also have enough space on the existing commercial site to handle their parking needs, even when this is developed.
Okay, thank you. And I actually have a follow-up question for Ms. Oden. Ms. Oden, the parking that is available now does meet town standards for parking for this development. Is that correct?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma. So just to clarify your question, we're asking if the parking on the vacant site is part of what was approved for the master development plan far as the overall parking?
No. What I'm saying is that without that, they still meet town standards for parking for the existing commercial development.
Oh, correct. Thank you for clarifying your question. Correct. So yeah, without the parking for that site, what was approved for the master development plan and putting the required parking for the proposed expansion, correct. The overall site does meet the parking calculations for commercial.
Thank you.
If I may add one point to that, the site requires 102 parking spaces, I believe, the commercial site, and we currently have 120. So we are well over the requirements of the ordinance.
Okay, thanks for the clarification.
All right, are there any other commissioners with questions right now? Vice Chair Harrington.
Yes, my question is about building one. Looking at building one and where there's a berm, I'm looking at or have concerns about connectivity. Is there a way that there could be some more grading done where building one is currently existing to make the connectivity level for where the currently existing apartments are? That way one isn't so high or the level's not so high. I know that you've done some grading there now, but I'm looking at where the berm is, where building one is.
We looked at some of those connectivity issues. There are existing sidewalks, a sidewalk along the shared entrance drive that we will be improving a crosswalk over there to get residents from this site down into the existing apartments to the south. That sidewalk leads right to the clubhouse, where if we tried to run something through the middle of the site, we'd either end up at the side of the existing building or right in between some parking spaces that we can't really get people through without just making them scoop between our cars, which, you know, adds a little bit of an element of danger. So we felt it was best to utilize the existing sidewalks that everyone's used to, and that would be a safer method to allow them to get to the clubhouse and amenities without having to, you know, go through paved driveways and parking spaces.
Okay, my concern was if there was a little additional grading done in that particular area where building one is, mm-hmm. The height level and the viewpoint would be just a hair bit better all the way around. Now, was sure if that was possible. I
don't know how possible it would be, because right now our entrance off the existing driveway is tied to that elevation. And so we would not have a lot of opportunity. We've committed with staff to work with it on the grading to improve it wherever possible. We certainly will look at it, but I think we're looking at changes in the tenths, not in feet, just because we are tied to that one point to get into our site.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Vice Chair Harrington. Commissioner Posey?
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. And thank you, Ms. Oden, for that great presentation. It answered a lot of questions. I want to ask about clarify the letters of concern that were written. They were dated over a year ago, like February of 2020. And is that all, or there was nothing recent?
Chair Gamble and Commissioner Posey, that's correct. We have not received any written recent communication, letters of concern from the community.
I figured you would have sent them, but I just thought, well, that looks good. Since that was a long time ago, thank you.
All right. Any other commissioners have questions at this time? I'm not seeing any, so I am going to move over to our public hearing. So I'd now like to open the public hearing. So any of the attendees that would like to comment or ask a question, now is the time to do so. So if you could either locate the raise your hand button and click on that, or press *9 if you're using your phone, that will alert me that you have a question. So I will wait a little while here and see if we have any questions that pop up. All right, I am not seeing seeing anybody with their hand up, so I will close the public hearing portion of this and then turn the discussion back to the commissioners. And I'll actually start because there were a few concerns that I had and a few changes I would like to see made. So on the north elevation of the three-story building, I had a couple issues with. I am concerned about the rusty orange color. While that does blend in well with the apartments behind it, I also feel like it's a little bit of a dated color, and it's not as high end as the adjacent or adjoining commercial. And I would love to see the applicant switch that rusty orange color to a stone veneer. Mr. Hyland, is that something that you guys could agree to?
I'll have a conversation with the owners and the architect. At this point, I don't see any reason we couldn't make some adjustments like that, changing the orangey area to a stone veneer.
It was just on the north facing where it just kind of matches, the other shopping centers have a little bit of a higher end feel with the stone or wainscoting or veneer that they're using. And I would just like to see that carried over since this is all on the Lambert front.
Okay.
And then my second point was also with the three-story building. And I feel like the picture that was, or the rendering that was depicted was slightly misleading because the patio does extend south quite a bit more than the angle that you took it at. Mm-hmm. And I was interested in perhaps, since there's really nothing we can do about the three-story building and the view shed is significantly impacted on that south side of the patio, I was hoping that you guys would consider in the landscaping of that, putting up a three-story wired trellis and having vines grow all like a native vine. There are several options to choose from. I was looking through the architecture, Mr. Vela sent it to me, but it's basically the list of all of the plants. I can't think of the name just yet, but allowed plants. And there are several vine options because then I feel like that appeases, you know, the noble hops and kind of gives it a little bit of a beer garden feel where you still have a nice lush green space. You don't have the view of the Catalinas that you had before, mm-hmm. but it's still really an inviting area.
Okay.
So yeah. I know they would need to keep the native trees. And mm-hmm. I know having a vine trellis like that would also help with cooling the building as well as it's, westward facing.
Okay. I will look at that. I'll get the copy of the information from Mr. Vela. I do have a bit of a concern because first the patio, you are correct, it does extend further south, but as it extends further south, it gets significantly narrower. And that south end of the patio is what was where the band is set up usually. And further south is like an access and a prep area and things like that. So the actual chairs, and I'm going to just guess 75% of the seating is all on the north half of that patio. So we're not necessarily blocking a lot of the view from a majority of the patrons who would be there. And I hope the band is concentrating on their entertaining and not just gazing around at the scenery. So that is one concern about having to put up additional landscaping. There would be where it's going to be located, because with the paths and connections to the existing sidewalks and things, I don't know that we're going to be able to put a screen wall, a living screen wall in that area without possibly affecting the view triangles from the cars getting in and out of the site and creating a little bit of an issue. But I certainly am willing to investigate that with the assistance of Hannah and Bear and seeing what we could do to possibly improve that area
for any of the patrons looking at it. Be a nice thing to have at any point in mm-hmm. any seating position in the patio, because you are mm-hmm. seeing that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, regardless of where you're sitting, you're still looking at a three-story building. And I just mm-hmm. thought it would be nicer to have that to make it more of just a cozy, inviting space for them, because I know mm-hmm. that's where a lot of the concerns came from. So I would love to see something like that happen.
We'll look into that. I do want to remind all the planning commission members that we are actually the owners and operators of that entire building and section. So we will have to take a look closer at that, because the Noble Hops is a tenant, but creating kind of, I want to say it's going to be an, it might look nice, but it's going to be an unusual type of landscaping feature. So I want to make sure that, you know, our folks in marketing and everybody take a look at it and see what we think it means for the entire project.
All right. Did any other commissioners, AC Commissioner Sturman, will you unmute yourself, please? There we go.
Along with the same conversation about the rendering, I noticed two things that, you know, they're puzzling to me. There was a Palo Verde tree directly in line with the Noble Hops the patio. And I was thinking that you know, the complement of the view that you're trying to provide, I think that taller trees like that may even block it, especially when they're in full bloom. I know it's a temporary bloom, but the idea that what you're trying to do is create an open view. So I was thinking the type of plantings that you should have, it should be a low growth, a type of view for that. The other question I had is the carport really necessary? You know, that's almost like some architectural clutter to me. And I was kind of concerned about it, because your parking lot and the building itself, you're really talking about a south axis of a sunset or sun radius. And the carport, is it really necessary? Because you're always going to have shade on those type of vehicles that are really up against those buildings. Now, if it was on the south side, you know, I could see the carport, but I see no reason for that carport, because it just doesn't appear to me looking very good.
The carports are necessary because in some cases there is going to be times when the building's not screening. There will be sunshine, especially further north in the parking lot, as well as the fact that parking lots are a requirement from residents. If you do not provide certain amenities, the project does not have any appeal to a large group of people. And carports are one of those requirements for apartments we found throughout the southern United States. So we feel that they're very, very necessary.
All right, does that answer your question, Commissioner Sturman?
Well, then I asked about the Palo Verde tree. Is there any concepts that you might have in mind to kind of lower the type of vegetation where you're going to obstruct the view, you know, from that angle, you know, for normals?
Yeah, I'm certainly willing to discuss landscaping, especially a view shed line from, you know, from the north end of the patio to the views blocked by the building. We can certainly discuss making adjustments to the landscape. That we have no concern. We'll do that with the staff and get that worked out.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Campbell.
You're welcome. Do any other commissioners have anything to discuss? Commissioner Hong, will you unmute yourself? Here we go.
Sure. I just was wondering. I don't remember having heard anything about the trash bin. We understand that the trash bin will be located alongside the sidewalk. Have you possibly thought about any other means of locating the bin?
We have. We've actually discussed this with your staff as well. We've tried a number of different places, but the backing in and pulling forward that would be required for a garbage truck to get in there would be a large drawback. What we've done to help address the location is we've increased the height of the enclosure, and we've also added additional landscaping around that area to minimize the view of it, so that even sitting up on the raised patio, you won't be able to see down into the enclosure. You won't be able to see over the wall.
Yeah, and the related question is, how often do this garbage bin get picked up by the truck? Is it daily or?
It's usually once or twice a week, depending on the circumstances and, you know, holiday seasons and things like that. But no, it's not a daily thing.
So for me personally, it's not just the height. It could also be the odor, because of the weather here, obviously. You know, it does get kind of bad. You know, have you also considered, you know, means of mitigating the odor and, you know, besides the site?
The location of the dumpster in the several other places we've looked at relocating it to, this is actually the furthest from the patio. All the other ones northerly in the site, actually, because the patio and the seating area gets wider as it goes to the north along the drive. Any other places would be as close or closer.
Right. So do you have any, like, you know, I don't know if there's any scientific means to cover the bin properly or have it sealed off with rubber or whatnot? Because usually you just have the metal, you know, thing that sits there, and mm-hmm. anybody can just kind of go in and leave it open or something, and then, you know, all sorts of things happen mm-hmm. In the open air. So I just was wondering if you have any means to mitigate that.
Have any included in the plan yet. I will note that the dumpster for the commercial area is right across the street from us in that loading area behind the building. So it's an unfortunate fact of life that we have to, you know, to deal with the garbage and things. So we put this as far from the seating as we can get it, based on the fact that we were requested to push the building as far away from the road as possible.
So if there's no other location within the site that it can be located, then, you know, possibly the next step would be, you know, make it best possible to seal it off, so that it's not, you know, going to remain open. The lid, that is, or there's any opening that kind of, you know, diffuses, I don't know, the smell factor, because it's a really nice area, and I would love to walk around that area, because it, you know, it connects to the shopping center across, and then it's got the restaurants and, you know, commercial establishment, and you can also walk, you know, if you like. There's a walking path that, you know, leads to the park. So it's really nice area, but I just, as a pedestrian even, and not as a someone who's visiting a restaurant, Noble House or whatever that is, but I just would love to not smell, you know, the trash, you know, in open air, because that's my concern. And it's a beautiful area. Again, I want to keep it beautiful. So I just would like to see if you have any plans to make it possible that, you know, that the odor factor is controlled. Then I'd be very happy to, you know, see the development happening.
Yeah, I understand your concern. I'm not really sure of any mitigation factors for basically a dumpster where the residents will be going in there, you know, possibly every day tossing their garbage bags in it. I'm not sure how we put enclose it so that, because that would then make it very difficult for the garbage truck to get in there and even access it, let alone the residents. So, I mean, if the city has specifications for something like that, I'd be happy to review them and work on it again with staff, but I'm not aware of any kind of reasonable method that would be used to mitigate it. And quite frankly, the residential use is going to have a lot fewer odors than the restaurant use, whose dumpster is literally across the street. back in that loading area behind the building. So we've got two other apartment complexes in the area that we've never had problems with and never had complaints with from the residents or the neighbors. So I don't know how big of a problem it would even be at this point. So unless we have a specific requirement or a specific suggestion as to how to accomplish it, I'm not sure that it's an actual problem that needs solving.
Yeah, I'm not aware of it, but I just, you know, I happen to have lived in an area where it's, you know, within the center city, and there are restaurants and there are apartments, and everything is beautiful. It's just that there's a garbage can, you know, throughout the street. And, you know, I mean, it just happens, you know, in residential area, you have, you know, it needs to, it has to be picked up. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But it's an eyesore, first of all, and I understand you're trying to mitigate that. But then, you know, it also will have certain odor and some, you know, health issues, you know, I don't know, smelling the garbage. So, yeah, that's just my personal thing.
As I said, we've got a couple of developments. Actually, one of our apartments is directly south of City Hall, and I have never heard any complaints about any of the odors coming from our residential dumpsters, because the majority of trash for the residential dumpsters is going to be more paper and boxes and things like that, and a lot less of the food that you would get in a commercial district.
You know, I don't know about others, but I do have a second opinion. I mean, I don't. So, yeah, I mean, from my experience, you know, just one day, you sit in the garage, you know, it starts smelling. So I don't know. And also, it's very unsightly. It attracts the pest, you know, the animals. Because, I mean, it, obviously, you know, I haven't seen any garbage can or a dumpster sitting right on the sidewalk across from a restaurant that relies on a view, right?
Miss Odin has her hand up. Did you have anything to add to this?
Thank you, Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong. I was just going to add that per code, self-closing gates are required for refuse enclosures. And then I also wanted to offer after we're done with this conversation, I'm happy to bring up the landscape plan as well if there's any points of clarification. That we can look at based on your comments, Chair Gamble, and Commissioner Sturmans.
All right, Commissioner Hong, did you have all of your questions and concerns addressed?
Of course. I'm sure there's regulation, and I'm sure, you know, the development is in compliance, just that there's maybe some additional concerns. And, you know, obviously it seems like it doesn't look like it has been thought out or, you know, addressed, or there's any plan as of yet, but I just would like to see if there's any way to look into this further. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Ms. Hong, or Commissioner Hong. Commissioner Bergsma, will you unmute?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Gamble. So having sat on the patio of Noble Hops in the past, when the sun was setting and the light was hitting Push Ridge just right, and we had sort of an up and glow effect. You know, it's beautiful, and that will be lost because the apartments will block that view. But that's nothing we can do with this. The property owner has every right to develop this property as proposed, and so and I think they've done as much as they can to address concerns about loss of the viewshed. So, you know, it just happens that we do need housing in this community, and I think that will provide some additional relatively affordable housing for Oral Valley. As to the concerns that have been raised by the other commissioners and Chair Gamble, I agree with Chair Gamble. I think that it would be great to maybe improve the appearance of the north elevation a little bit, as she suggests, and I could support a motion containing a condition requiring that. As for the carports, I think there's nothing wrong with having carports. They're fairly low profile. Landscaping improvements, as suggested by Chair Gamble, I'm not sure. I think we maybe need some clarification on that. I'm not sure that's something we need to get into as a condition at this point. So that, I just want to let you know where I stand in terms of any motions that might be made. Again, I support improvements to the north elevation. Beyond that, I think what's being proposed is fine as it is. Thank you.
And I was muted. I'm so sorry. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Commissioner Hong?
I don't know if it's just, I know that we're just only supposed to review the design of it and landscaping all. I don't know how upscale or how beautiful this complex is going to look like. But again, you know, if we are interested in providing affordable housing for the town and the community, I wonder how upscale and how beautiful it's going to be so that it'll, you know, be overly, you know, expensive for some. And that in a way, you know, kind of sort of works against what it is intended or what we would like to see. I don't know, as you know, some of us may, that is, you know, providing affordable housing. So I just am curious, you know, what type of, you know, rental services or property is this going to be? Is this like the, you know, first class? Or do you have any ideas as to what the going rent is going to be? Any vague idea on that?
You know what, Commissioner Hong, I think that's getting off topic here. And I think in Oro Valley, the only type of apartments that are getting built are luxury apartments because that's what the market's demanding. So it's not really our place to judge the affordability of said apartments because obviously people can afford them because almost all of them are at max capacity. So I wish there was more affordable housing options, but I just don't see that happening in Oro Valley anytime soon in the market. So I think our best strategy here is to really, you know, make this the, you know, most cohesive, you know,
to the code,
nicest building sure. that it can, since it's, you know, it's on Lambert Road, it's visible, you know, it's a lovely shopping center. You know, I know Noble Hops is a beloved restaurant. with, you know, such a unique patio that, you know, even if Noble Hops wasn't there, I imagine any, you know, it would probably be maintained as some kind of restaurant where
right. they so do have that beautiful patio. I think I just heard Commissioner Bergsma commenting that, you know, it provides an affordable housing option. And from what I hear and the location of it, I don't see it being an affordable option. It would provide an option. You know, housing option for those who are not yet owning a home in Oro Valley, but would like to live in the town. So that's what I would like to point out. If you are voting, or I don't know, if the motion is based on, you know, the development proposal being the one that provides affordable housing, I don't think this is going to be it. That's all I'm trying to say.
And that's really not something that the commission is
exactly.
I know, yep. Mr. Andrews. Oh, okay. No, we're good.
You hit my point.
Shut up.
Chair Gamble, you hit my point without me having to say anything. This isn't the place to discuss the Forum of Affordable Housing. Mr. Bergsma right. made that comment, but that's not the reason for tonight's action.
No, it is not. Thank you. Commissioner Bergsma, you've got your hand up again.
Yeah, I just made that comment in passing. Obviously, that's not the reason why we're acting on this tonight. We can argue about what's affordable and what isn't. Certainly, it's good to have more housing choice, if nothing else. So that's the only point I would make.
Right. All right. Thank you. So I would actually like to turn back to Mr. Hyland. And I'm just wondering, I have an attendee that has a question. Was this somebody, Suzanne Kaiser, is she working with you guys or is she a member of the public? I'm not sure, because I've already closed the public hearing, but I don't know if she had something to add. I know you had mentioned the owners were involved.
She's not part of our design team at the meeting tonight.
Okay, so Ms. Kaiser, I know you missed the public hearing. I would very much still like to hear what you have to say. So if Malini could unmute you, that would be wonderful, and we will quickly take your comments. Okay, she actually lowered her hand. Okay, so Mr. Hyland, you know, before
make
a decision.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Will you please state your name and if you're a resident of Oro Valley?
My name's Suzanne Kaiser. I am not a resident of Oro Valley. I am an owner of Noble Hops.
Okay.
So, and I just have a question on the 16 units. I'm guessing that's two cars per unit. So of the 36 parking spaces, 32 would be used by the residents of the apartments. So the remaining four spaces, is that what's referred to as extra parking for Noble Hops?
I don't believe that is what it is. I think it's to accommodate visitors at the apartment complex. Mr. Hyland, am I correct with that?
Oh, that's correct. It'd be guest parking.
Okay, so that would not be available to Noble Hops customers.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
We just saw in the previous slides, it said it would offer additional parking for Noble Hops. So I was just curious.
So basically how that the town is wanting to work that is all of the parking that winds all the way around Lambert and then onto La Cañada is still available for you guys. And so per the zoning code, they still have enough. I know that Mrs. Odin and another staff member, Mr. Parker's, are working on, and correct me if I say this wrong, Hannah, a parking amendment.
A parking code amendment to the zoning code.
Right, because I think several of the commissioners had expressed concern about, you know, a restaurant like yours needing more parking that's conveniently located. And so obviously that won't help you in this situation, unfortunately, but going forward, I know they are trying to work on something like that to remedy that problem. So do you have any other questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for participating. All right. So, Commissioner Posey, will you unmute yourself, please?
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. I was just thinking about the extra parking where the medical facility, the TMC, one that's opening up and stuff that about the, in the busiest time for Noble Hops would be probably after that facility is closed. And I was just wondering, would that be adequate parking for Noble Hops there? I would think so.
Currently per town code it is, but Mr. Hyland?
Yeah, but part of what we did is when the issue first came up about a year ago with our first neighborhood meeting, we actually employed a traffic engineer to study the uses, not just as a general mixed use commercial development, but the specific uses that were in there with parking requirements and generally the overlapping hours and the hours which some of them would be closed and so on and so forth. And we found that there is enough parking on the site, but in the case of like, say, the busiest hour of Noble Hops, maybe it's not even visible because it's around the corner. So we've been looking at different options. We talked a little bit with Ms. Kaiser about what we can do, but at that point it was the height of COVID, so we agreed that we kind of need to see how this all works out before we make any decisions on the best way to address it. But we do have our traffic study that shows that there is enough parking. If we need to even have some sort of a valet service at certain hours during the evening, there's a few options we have. We're just kind of waiting for us to get past this COVID issue and everything to open up again before we decide how best to solve this.
Okay, thank you. I just you know, hoping that it does not cut into the Noble Hops and their customer service. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Posey. Do any other commissioners have comments to discuss? I did want to revisit the rusty orange color on the north facing elevation. And I would love to get a commitment now from you, Mr. Hyland, about switching that out to a stone veneer. And then we won't have to add it as an amendment. Is that something you can do now?
Just so that we're sure what we're doing here, because is there a way to get like a straw poll or something from the Planning Commission? Because right now I've heard from you, and I've heard Mr. Bergesma that he would support. I want to make sure that everyone's in support of go and change all our plans, and that it turns out not to be desired by everyone.
Well, it wasn't changing all your plans. It was really just the paint color and putting stone veneer to kind of maintain that high-end appearance of the shopping center on along Lambert Road.
Oh, no, I understand. But there's a certain element where when you start adding stone to the face, then all of a sudden your structural steel gets bigger. So the design does change. And all of a sudden where you had a 10-foot wide space, 9.5 feet, and those kind of items that would need to be addressed. So I just want to make sure that this is the correct way to go with that area.
Mrs. Oden?
Chair Gamble, I was just going to offer to pull up an elevation, if that would be helpful for the conversation.
Sure. And also Mr. Andrews?
Just want to make it clear, Chair Gamble, that even if you get a commitment from them staying it in open session that they want to do this, I would recommend that whatever your motion be, if you want the rust orange replaced with stone veneer, that there be an amendment stating that.
All right, thank you. So
I guess that would accomplish my request as well, then, if it's
okay.
Part of the act motion.
Yeah, so it, I just think the view from Lambert Lane and the view from Noble Hops has that orange pop out too. But I think the one side of that pop out actually is on the Lambert Lane side. So if that could be veneered as well. So that would be my ask. Whatever you want to do with the landscaping on the other side, you guys can discuss that down the road. But I think at this time, are there any other commissioners that had questions or just things they wanted to discuss? So I'm not seeing any hands. So I am going to ask for a motion then. And we have two motions. So if I could get a motion for item A, the proposed conceptual site plan, the revised development plan, and the conceptual landscape plan. And then if whoever's making that wants to add in the friendly or add in the condition about the rusty orange and the stone veneer, or I can add that as a friendly amendment after. So, Mr. Hyland, did you have one more thing to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to request, can we work with staff on the extent of stone veneer? Because I know that if we were to take it all the way from the ground to the roof, it would basically divide the building visually. So we'd like to maybe take it partway up and kind of jog it, give it a little bit of a irregular relief so that it doesn't just create a visual line. That's my architect is going to ask about that anyway, so they don't like to create just like a visual separation from floor to ceiling, just because it doesn't flow well.
Well, on the north, looking, I have a large copy of the north elevation that I'm currently looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really have anywhere where it goes from the floor to the ceiling. You only have one spot of orange on the south elevation that goes from the bottom to the top, which I wasn't concerned about. You've got a pop-out, two insets, a couple smaller little square insets. The side of the pop-out on this first story, and then it would be broken up between just right after that first story on the north elevation. So it wouldn't be a entire top to bottom.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Chair Gamble?
Clarify, yes.
Could I also just clarify, so the stone veneer condition friendly amendment you're referring to would be relative to item 2? As opposed to item A. So just to be clear.
Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. I very much appreciate that. Okay, so the friendly amendment will go on item B. And so if we can get, does anybody else have questions? Oh, this is Commissioner Hahn.
Can the friendly amendment also include the condition to improve the trash bin to be specially designed so that it would have the proper cover to prevent from odor, you know, leaching and onto the street level?
Mr. Highland, we can do that. Is that a product that's available?
That's not a standard product on any residential development I know of. And so I would ask the commission to consider, are we being held to a standard?
I don't know if what you want exists. I love what you want, but I don't know if that's something that we can add.
It's a public health issue from what I know.
But it's not like what you're saying.
It's not yet controlled. It's
a public health issue for any of the other existing ones in the neighborhood. I don't understand how ours is an issue and none of the other ones are.
Chair Gamble?
Yes.
We don't have any code requirements that we could point to for any type of special trash enclosure beyond what's being proposed. Without those code provisions, we can't require something extraordinary of these applicants.
Okay, so Commissioner Hong, I do not believe we'll be able to add that amendment.
It would cost less actually than to improve the improvement they were doing, the recall, or, you know, changing your design. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, you have to redo the, in the wall or, you know, repaint with different color or anything. It's just like, can you make sure that it gets properly covered, you know, potentially with some rubber? I don't know. If you can look for this bin, it would be very good for the public health, I think.
All right, Mr. Andrews, I'm going to turn the time back to you.
Chair Gamble, once again, I don't think we have a single apartment or dumpster in the entirety of the town of Oral Valley that requires a special enclosure with what we're asking for here. This is an extraordinary request that nobody else is being made of. If we ask for it here, I think we're asking for trouble.
Okay, that's fine. I'm also concerned about it being right on the sidewalk. Does that also bear any concern for the township? Is there any code that requires that it be, you know, set back certain inches or certain feet away from, can the staff maybe, you know, explain to me? Because, you know, here we are. It's going to be right there, you know, right next to whoever is going to walk by.
Chair Gamble?
Can I defer to you on that one?
Yeah, I can certainly jump in. Thank you, Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong. So as was referenced during the presentation, we did try to work with the applicant to try and find a different location for that refuse enclosure within the site that was further away from the kind of public space along that roadway, the sidewalks that are there, and unfortunately the vehicle that is required, the trash truck, to be able to empty that wasn't able to maneuver within the site. And so that location was agreed upon as the best location for the trash enclosure. Now, do keep in mind that town code requires that it be fully screened on three sides with the self-clothing closing and self-latching gate on the fourth side. So for all intents and purposes, 90% of the time, it's going to be entirely enclosed. And with the landscaping on the outside of it to help kind of screen it, most folks won't even know it's there if done per code. So that's the expectation that we're holding the applicant to, just like we would any other new development moving forward. And then I would say, you know, most trash cans that I've come across do kind of have that flip-top kind of plastic cover that seems to come on those things that kind of help minimize odor issues as well.
Yeah, so I think people also leave things outside the bin, you know, where the enclosure is, and just leave it out, or just leave their bag outside the bin, and then it just kind of, you know, causes right. All this. Yeah.
And Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong, if that is something that is happening, then that certainly falls on the apartment management. To be able to follow up with residents to make sure that that's not consistently happening. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's going to be picked up like once a week, then, you know, that's obviously been sitting there. And with all the animals out there looking for food, they're going to be, you know, opening it up. And, you know, it's going to be right by the street where, you know, people are walking and, you know, eating maybe across the street on the Noble House, you know, porch area, whatever that is, outside.
We'll definitely need to be continuously monitored. Absolutely. But we've done everything we can from a code perspective to make sure that it's hidden and screened as much as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Commissioner Hong. So I've got a couple more discussion points. Commissioner Bergsma, did you have a comment? And will you unmute?
Yes, I do have actually a question. I was going to make a motion, but you
we're going to hold off on that for 1 second.
Yeah. I think I do need a clarification. So you pointed out the graphics we have of the building elevations, which relate, of course, to item B. And looking at the elevation for the north elevation, there is apparently some stonework on the first floor at various points. Is that you're actually, in terms of what you're wanting, you want more than that, what they're already showing? Is that what I understand?
Yes, I want them to replace all the rusty orange color with the stone.
Okay, so in addition to what's already shown?
Yes.
Okay, so wanted a clarification. Thank you.
No problem. Commissioner Posey.
Oh, I was going to make a motion too.
All right. I don't think we have any other comments, so I will let you make that motion.
All right. Okay. And I move to recommend approval of the conceptual site plan, revised master development plan, and conceptual landscape plan for the proposed Oral Vista apartment expansion located southeast of La Cañada Drive and Lambert Lane intersection, based on the finding that the proposal complies with the all zoning code and grading exception criteria.
All right. Can I get a second for that? Vice Chair Harrington?
I'll second that motion.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Ancona, could we please get a roll call vote for this?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
You're on mute, Commissioner Henderson.
Oh, I beg your pardon. The answer is aye.
Great. Thank you. Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
No.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-1.
All right, so now we're going to move on to item B. Quickly raise your hand if we needed to discuss this one further. I'm not seeing any hands, so I'm going to ask for a motion for item B. Commissioner Posey?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you had a question.
Yes, just a statement. I really, honestly, I love the contrast of the burnt orange color in there. I think it looks good, but I think your idea is better. I just want to make that statement.
Well, thank you. All right, so can we have a motion for item B now? Commissioner Bergsma.
Okay, I'll give it a try. I move to recommend approval of the conceptual architecture for the proposed Oro Vista apartment expansion located southeast of the La Cañada Drive and Lambert Lane intersection based on the finding that the proposal complies with all zoning code and grading exception criteria with the condition that the north elevation of the apartment building be changed to have a stonework veneer rather than the rust color on that elevation.
All right, do we have a second, Vice Chair Harrington?
I'll second that motion.
All right, Ms. Ancona, can we please get a roll call vote for that?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
No.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-1.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time and your considerations. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Hyland. Ms. Ancona, will you please read out our third agenda item?
Discussion and possible action to initiate a zoning code amendment to address Planning and Zoning Commission review of the strategic plan and the Planning Division work plan process.
All right, thank you. I am going to turn the time over to Mrs. Malini Sims for a staff presentation.
Thank you, Chair Gamble, commissioners. I do not have a formal presentation for this item tonight, but town staff is asking the commission to initiate a zoning code amendment regarding the strategic plan and work plan process. Tonight's request is not asking the commission to approve any changes, but rather it is a request to allow staff to look into the existing processes and bring proposed changes back to the commission for consideration at a later date. The timing of this initiation is in response to the unique strategic planning process recently implemented. As many of you are aware, last month was the first time the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as other town boards and commissions, were invited to participate in the strategic planning process. Your participation during this initial stage of prioritizing department tasks was highly beneficial. However, this new process spotlighted the redundancy existing between the strategic plan and work plan. As you may recall, most of the land use items are included on both plans, which adds additional confusion. Additionally, the process for work plans was adopted before a formal strategic plan process was utilized. Now, those same land use items are considered by the commission and town council twice during the strategic plan and work plan processes, adding more redundancy. The Planning Division work plan is also the only division work plan required for consideration by Town Council, as other departments utilize the strategic plan and manage work plans internally. Initiation of the zoning code amendment allows staff to review the commission's roles and duties, to propose code changes, to include the commission in future strategic planning processes, and reduce some of the redundancy and confusion that currently exists between the plans. Again, tonight's request is not to approve any changes at this time, but rather it is a request to commission to initiate review of the current process and propose code changes accordingly. If initiated this evening, the proposed code changes will be presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission for discussion in May. and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have, but that concludes staff's presentation.
All right, thank you, Ms. Sims. Does anybody have, or any commissioners have comments or questions? Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. Ms. Sims, does staff have any thoughts about what kind of changes you might want to propose at this point?
Staff will be evaluating the process with for next month. Right now, we're still discussing what those changes may be proposed.
Okay, thank you. I guess my thought is, obviously, you start with the general plan. That's the guiding document. And then I suppose you would prepare the strategic plan and then the work plans from the various departments, including planning, would follow after the strategic plan is adopted by the council. I think that's the ideal. The problem I think I've seen to this point is that, at least based on the present strategic plan, is that there wasn't a real clear link between the general plan and their strategic plan. I remember before I was appointed to the Planning and Zoning Commission, I attended a public outreach event that was put on by the consultant that was hired by the town, and he never made mention of the general plan. So I'm trying to figure out, well, where's the link? Now, I believe there was some discussion during the public meetings about the strategic plan where the town manager and her staff were trying to provide a link between the action items and the general plan and the proposed action or the proposed priorities in the strategic plan, but it wasn't real clear. And as the process went along, I think that those links were lost. So I want to make sure that we provide guidance not only in terms of what we do, but also in terms of what the council does in preparing the strategic plan. There's nothing, I believe, in the zoning ordinance about what the council does in terms of preparing a strategic plan. The plan itself, and I believe it's chapter 7, indicates that the council should adopt a strategic plan. But it doesn't really go into much detail beyond that about how that happens. So I think there may need to be some clarification regarding the strategic plan preparation process, as well as the process for adoption of a work program for the planning department. And of course, the code does specify that the Planning and Zoning Commission does have a key role in that process of preparing the work program. So I think there needs to be clarification along the way regarding both the strategic plan as well as the work program for the planning department, but maybe also for other departments as well. So thank you. Those are my initial thoughts.
Sorry, I was muted again. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Commissioner Posey?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Gamble. Listen, I believe at the last council meeting that the town manager had asked them to submit any questions or comments that they might have and submit them by March 31st. So they could discuss them at the April 7th meeting. And I was just wondering if any of those questions or comments from the council might be brought forth tonight. Or am I confused?
Chair Gamble, if I may. Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey. That's a great question, and that's part of the initiation, is there is a lot of confusion between the strategic plan and work plan. But that the strategic plan item is on the town council's agenda for tomorrow night. So that will be discussed tomorrow night during the council meeting. That isn't part of this discussion this evening. This discussion is really about initiating a zoning code amendment to allow staff to look at those processes for the strategic plan and work plan. And then if initiated, we will come back to the commission with proposed changes for you to consider.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. And then Mr. Vella, do you have your hand up?
Yes, please, Chair Gamble. I just wanted to address Ms. Posey's, Commissioner Posey's question a bit further. So the commission's input to the strategic plan was absolutely shared with town council. So that is part of the mix and the discussion tomorrow night at council. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bella. Does that answer your question, Commissioner Posey?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All right. Did anybody else have any commissioners have questions on this one or discussion points? No. All right. So, Malini, to initiate this, do we need to make a motion?
For Gamble, yes.
All right. So I will ask for a motion to initiate this. Vice Chair Harrington.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I move that we will move to initiate zoning code amendments to address Planning and Zoning Commission's strategic plan review and the Planning Division workplace work plan process.
This is a tongue twister. Thank you. Commissioner Posey, will you second? You're on mute.
Thank you. Yes, I do second that motion.
All right, thank you. Ms. Ancona, will you please do a roll call vote for us?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right, thank you. And can you please read our fourth agenda item.
Discussion regarding an update on town growth and the remaining land supply.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona. I'll turn the time back to Mrs. Sims.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. And can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Great. So good evening. The purpose of this item is to provide more detailed information about the town's growth and land supply. This item is for discussion and information purposes only. As you may remember, Mr. Byer-Vella presented a couple months ago about the big picture growth trends and demographics in Oro Valley. Rightfully so, several commissioners asked about our current build-out numbers, which we will be discussing this evening. Tonight's presentation is the second part of the Town's Growth series. Staff will be providing a third presentation to the Commission next month about land development in Rancho Vistoso, which is the town's largest planned area development. But again, our focus tonight is on the town's built and remaining land. I will be discussing three main areas. First, the overall big picture of land development in Oro Valley and where we are now. Second, I'm going to take a step back and discuss the type of developments and residential growth trends that have led us to where we are today. Then lastly, I will wrap up with what does the future like and key takeaways to keep in mind as we move forward. This presentation is data heavy, so please bear with me as I go through lots of percentages and numbers. I will take moments to point out the key takeaways and themes throughout my presentation. So first, looking at the overall big picture, the town's remaining land supply is limited. A key takeaway is the land used has increased from 85% to 94% within the past 5 years. This includes land that is built or planned for development. The planned areas, meaning areas with an approved subdivision plat or development plan, are shown in blue on the map. These are areas like Stone Canyon, which has several vacant lots that has been platted for development. The used land also includes open space. Another key point is 22% of Oro Valley land is regulated open space, which includes natural desert areas, golf courses, parks, and common areas maintained by the HOAs. As you can see on the map, a large portion of this open space is in Rancho Vistoso, especially with Big Wash and Honey Bee Canyon. Again, land supply is limited. The town has 6% of remaining unplanned vacant land. This land is vacant with no approved plans for development, and more than half of it is large lot single family residential. As the remaining land continues to decrease, redevelopment of existing sites will begin to occur. Being strategic about the use of the remaining land and redevelopment is important as the town moves forward. Now I want to dive into these numbers a little bit more by first looking back on what has been built in the town. Most of the land in Oro Valley is zoned for residential, and 90% of the built land has been built with homes. Housing is the main driver of the other land uses developed in town. Schools, churches, areas for employment and entertainment all support and reflect the amount of housing. The type of housing built in the town is mostly detached single-family residential. This is evidenced by the amount of commercial and tech park acreage built in town, which combined represents only 5% of the built land. So how did we get to 90% single-family residential? You may remember the graph on the screen from Mr. Vella's presentation. The big residential growth period was the boom in the 90s. Again, most of the housing in Oro Valley is single family homes. The amount of single family residential permits issued during this time was sometimes more than 1,000 per year. This number significantly reduced as we went through the economic recession, but for context, the town currently issues roughly 300 single family permits a year. Surprisingly, this current fiscal year, and largely during the height of the pandemic, 385 permits have been issued to date, and we project ending the year with over 450 permits, which is high for Oro Valley. This is largely due to the new subdivisions coming online along La Cholla and near Big Wash, which I will discuss in a moment. Looking forward, staff projects the number of permits issued will remain between 200 to 300 a year for the next 4 years, and then start to decrease. Again, this is our best guess, because of course the market may change those, and other factors may change those projections. As Mr. Vella stated during the last presentation, key growth areas include the properties along La Cholla and near Big Wash, which are circled in orange on the map. These subdivisions moved, and as I mentioned on the last slide, several are already under construction. Looking at the amount of remaining lots in approved subdivisions and the number of units that can be built on unplanned vacant land, staff projects a little over 3,000 total housing units remain. This projection is based on the existing zoning of the vacant properties. 71% of the projected units are single family residential. Most of the single family residential land remaining on unplanned is large lot residential. Typically, large lot residential has a slow absorption rate, and this includes areas along Tangerine, west of La Cañada, and south of Stone Canyon. There are also multifamily units planned and approved for development. For this discussion, multifamily residential includes all properties allowing attached products like townhomes, resorts, and senior care. An important takeaway regarding the remaining residential land is the large lot residential is not only absorbed slower, but it also represents a specific housing type and does not adequately provide the density needed to support commercial or employment areas. In addition to the residential land, 28% of the unplanned vacant land is tech park and commercial. These areas are located north of McGee and include sites at the intersection of First and Tangerine, in Innovation Park, and along Oracle and La Cholla. The town needs to be strategic about the land uses on this remaining unplanned vacant land and the redevelopment of existing sites, specifically considering density needed to support commercial nodes and conserving tech park areas for employment. In summary, the town's built land has increased from 85% to 94%. Housing is a driving force of the built land and limited remaining land supply. As the remaining land supply continues to decrease, development doesn't stop, but it does change. The town can expect to start seeing more redevelopment to occur. Due to these factors, the town needs to be strategic about the use of the remaining land moving forward. Along with seeking guidance from the general plan, The data provided tonight emphasizes the key considerations for future development Mr. Vella touched on last time. These included demographics, housing, and employment needs. To further expand on this, density of housing needing to support commercial areas, the types of housing to appeal to a diverse population, and conserving tech park areas to attract employers should also be considered. Additionally, mixed-use concepts to create live, work, and play environments should be factored in. This concludes my presentation for tonight, but again, staff will be coming back to you next month to have the third presentation and discussing land development in Rancho Vistoso. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right, thank you, Ms. Sims. Do we have any questions from the commissioners? Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Sims. Thank you, Chair Gamble. So you mentioned redevelopment. Obviously, that is something that's being considered for the Marketplace site, whatever they're calling it now. I think there's probably room for that in other commercial locations where you're seeing a lot of vacant stores. Have you given any thought to how much redevelopment potential there might be in commercially zoned properties in the town of Oro Valley?
Chair Gamble, that's a great question. I have to think about that for a minute. Some areas we've seen with redevelopment as well is Two Oracle Place, which is located on the northwest corner of Ina and Oracle. They used to be a Platinum Fitness gym, and now will be offices, restaurants, and some retail. But, you know, I do think we'll see a lot more of that happening, of more of these blended use with employment areas next to more retail. So if you may recall, the town did approve a code amendment last summer to kind of allow that type of development. So I do see more commercial spaces and even tech park spaces instead of being these silos to have kind of more of that blended use around town. I don't have a specific number that I can think of off the top of my head for the amount that we will see, but I do think that will happen more in the future as we continue.
What about the kind of thing that's being proposed for the Marketplace where you're seeing a blend of residential as well as retail?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma, I think that will be on a site-by-site basis, especially depending on land availability, if that will be proposed. But I do know history has shown that a lot of the multifamily developments that are located near commercial centers, those commercial centers do tend to thrive and be highly successful. So that may be something that we see in the future as well.
Thank you. One other comment, if I may, Chair Gamble. There is a concept that's being discussed now in planning circles. There's a recent article that came out from some folks who work for the Brookings Institution, and they call it soft density. And the notion behind soft density is that, and this is sort of consistent with the idea of missing middle housing, which has been proposed by an architect named Dan Perolik, where you have more density with through infill in existing neighborhoods where appropriate. It's not always appropriate. It might be through accessory dwelling units. It might be through division of single family residences into duplexes. The idea though is that the development occurs such that it's not all that noticeable. It's sort of spread out and you do get more residential development that way without really changing, at least significantly, the character of a neighborhood. So that's something that probably needs to be explored in Oro Valley, given the limited room for expansion in this community. I mean, you've got existing development to the south, you've got national forest land to the east, you're running into the town of Marana to the west. There may be some room in the, to the north that you're running into the Tortolita Mountains and areas like that. So you're probably going to have to deal with further growth primarily through redevelopment and infill. And so that how that happens, yeah, I think that needs further exploration, and that may be what staff is getting at through this series of presentations. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. I appreciate that. Commissioner Henderson, I believe you had your hand up next. Commissioner Henderson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. I wanted to make sure I was unmuted. Okay. One of your really thank you, Chair, and thank you, Ms. Sims. One of your early charts, Ms. Sims, said that the 22% of the land was open space. Is that open space actually zoned open space and therefore allows for public access?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Henderson, for the purpose of this exercise, no. That open space, also the types of land uses factored into that open space count include private parks, public parks, common areas that are regulated by the HOAs, which are generally private, as well as golf courses. Now, there are natural desert areas or natural open space also included into that count, such as Big Wash. But for the purposes of this exercise, we include all those types of open space in the count, not just zoned open.
Thank you, Ms. Sims and Chair Gamble. So the area actually zoned as open space with public access is much less than 22%. Is that correct?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Henderson, I don't have the exact number, but I would assume so, because we would take out some of
those.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Henderson. Commissioner Hong?
Yes, I just was wondering, here we're considering the rezoning and, you know, development plan for the town. I was wondering, and I haven't given much thought, but, you know, there's concern about, you know, the stores going vacant and lack of, you know, housing space to be developed or land to be developed for housing development, which is, you know, mainly the character of this town to date, from what it seems like. Has the township and staff, you know, possibly have considered, you know, possibly attracting or recharacterizing the town to maybe, you know, something other than just a bedroom town or retirement community, you know, more like a destination kind of place where people would just come and visit and dine, and, you know, we can maybe further renovate, you know, some of the public parks that we have here. The pool area, I have not been to the pool area, by the way, which is run by the town, or the open space here, the golf course, you know, in Rancho Vistoso. I, you know, recently, for the first time in 4 years, I visited for the first time and did a walk. It's a beautiful place. It's just sitting there dried up and dying, you know, the trees. And but it certainly is a place where, you know, outsiders, you know, who don't live here can come and dine, you know, if they need to. And the Oro Valley Marketplace, you know, if there's are enough restaurants and attractions to go to. So it's just ideas there. If there's lack of, you know, land for development, maybe we can, you know, renovate what we have here and, you know, boost the commercial activities here, maybe. That's just my thought and suggestion. Thank you.
For example, Commissioner Hong, now that sentiment was actually voted and approved by the residents as well through the general plan. So the general plan has several policies and actions for complete community. And what that means is having, you know, the housing options to support a diverse population, but also those employment opportunities, entertainment opportunities, you know, open space, as well as parks and other amenities to, you know, to create a complete community. Not to sound redundant, but So that is definitely in the general plan, as well as, you know, a policy that we look at to for redevelopment and even the rezonings and the way the land uses. So
the related question is, how do you recruit developers to the town? Do you like go marketing and see, you know, there's this great opportunity in town of Oro Valley, you know, there's an open space of a sort and it used to be a golf course and it's just sitting there, you know, acres and acres of land. Just come in and develop and, you know, put some amusement park, whatever, and then people just drive into Oro Valley and before you know, we have all these restaurants and, you know, I mean, how do you do that? You know, is that something you plan or I'm just curious, you know.
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong, no, again, great question. So our town's economic development department, or they do a lot of the outreach for potential employers, but also the town does work on for tourism and to, you know, let people know about all of our amenities. So there is a This is Oro Valley communications that goes out that kind of, you know, if you look at our town's website, and I apologize, this is a bit out of my wheelhouse. So, but there is, you know, that material is definitely online and definitely shared to promote all of Oro Valley's great assets and amenities to not only tourists, but, you know, residents, employers, and developers as well.
So how can we, I mean, how can I as an individual and, you know, a resident, can I do this, you know, promote Oro Valley? You know, is there an opportunity or, you know, can you give me some suggestions? Or is there a program that, you know, we can all participate, you know, if we're interested?
One of the best things you can do as a citizen is, and I am a big supporter of all of our small businesses, is to, you know, shop local. You know, when those businesses are doing well, other businesses are going to, or other people and other entrepreneurs are going to see that, oh, well, these are being really successful in Oro Valley. They have a great community that supports them. All these people are shopping local and supporting these small businesses. You know, we should throw our hat into the ring as well. But I don't know if there's much the town can do on that front other than, you know, the town really supporting our small businesses. Malini, did you have anything else to add?
No, Chair Gambley.
All right, well, that's the best way that I know. And so I know I go out of my way to shop local and to support our restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to know how I as an individual can strategize with the town, you know, officials and everybody else, you know, align on how we can be the better ambassador for the town, you know, Oro Valley. And, you know, I just would hate to see, you know, the beauty that I'm seeing, you know, it's just being wasted and just, you know, this all these opportunities. A lot of people just don't know, you know, Tucson, first of all, and Oro Valley. They haven't heard of Oro Valley. But, you know, there's a gem right behind my backyard. I just learned, and, you know, it's just been sitting there for over 2 years now. So that's a sad story. And also the marketplace, it's beautiful, you know. I mean, it's so beautiful. I just been to, one of the stores there over the week. Just you come out the store, you know, and then it's just right there, the mountain, the view and everything. So I don't know, it's just, I feel as though we have a lot of resources here that are just underutilized. And I don't know how, as an individual, you know, I can be a better ambassador of a sort. And then, you know, be able to contribute to the growth. Yep.
So Malini, is there any programs that the town provides where people can support those endeavors?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong, I mean, I agree with what Chair Gamble stated earlier, but I can definitely follow up with the commission if there are other any programs to address Commissioner
Hong's. All right. Thank you, Ms. Sims and Commissioner Hong. Commissioner Sturman?
Thank you, Chair Gamble. What I'm trying to understand, I know we were talking about land supply here, but is there any thought were being given to annexation and beginning to target some areas that, yes, you know, we've already looked at westward look, but, you know, there's land also to the west and there's land to the north. And I was kind of wondering if in this strategy that we're talking about, we already know the limitations that we're faced with right now, but is there a chance that we're going to be talking about annexation, you know, the look to the future in that context?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Sturma, great question. And yes, there is. So the town council adopted an annexation policy, comprehensive annexation policy last year that did include areas for a priority for annexation, one of which you mentioned, so that was adopted last year to also help guide kind of that discussion of looking towards land to the west and the north and, you know, around us as well. So the numbers I presented tonight did not, you know, account for potential annexations, but that definitely is part of this conversation as well.
Right. And I know that's a very property owner driven process. And so you know, it's really hard for the town to really work through that if the property owners aren't willing and able to annex in. Were there any other questions? Commissioner Posey.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Sturman. I appreciate that comment. About annexation, I agree with you 100%. I would love to see that. I know that there's an issue with police and fire protection, you know, that would have to be, you know, have to accommodate that too. But yes, actually, and that was answered really. Thank you, Ms. Sims, for answering that question, because and I appreciate it. Like I said, Commissioner Sturman, for that comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Posey. And that was a great comment. Commissioner Sturman, thank you. Do we have any other questions? I'm not seeing any. So thank you, Ms. Sims. And we are going to move on to the Planning Division update. Is Mr. Spaeth?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair Campbell, members of the commission. Next month's meeting, we now tentatively have two items scheduled. The first is the one you just initiated a couple of items ago, so that will be brought back tentatively on that agenda. And then we also have another zoning code amendment relative to the front setback reductions for low density residential zoning districts in Rancho Vistoso. That's the one where the neighborhood meeting was held last Thursday, if any of you were able to attend. So other than that, we don't have any neighborhood meetings scheduled at the moment, and I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you all very much for your time and all the effort that went into tonight. We'll see you next month.